Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Bhagavan api Vishvatma.
Bhagavan api Vishvatma.
Bhaktanam obayam karaha.
Bhaktanam obayam karaha.
Avivish am sabhagena.
Avivish am sabhagena.
Mana anakadundubehe. Bhagavan api Vishvatma.
Bhagavan api Vishvatma.
Bhaktanam obayam karaha.
Bhaktanam obayam karaha.
Avivishvam shabhagena.
Avivishvam shabhagena.
Mana anakadundubehe. Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Api, also.
Vishwa-atma,
Vishwa-atma,
the Super Soul of all living entities. Bhaktanam,
of his devotees.
Abhayam karaha,
abhayam karaha,
always killing the causes of fear. Avivesha, entered. Amshabhagena, with all of his potential opulences. Sadaishwarya
Purna.
Manaha,
in the mind.
Anakadundubehe,
Anakadundubehe,
of Vasudeva.
Vasudeva.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Thus, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the Supersoul of all living entities, and who vanquishes all the fear of His devotees, entered the mind of Vasudeva in full opulence. Purport. The word Vishvatma refers to one who is situated in everyone's heart. Ishvarak sarvabhutanam videshair arjuna tishtati. Another meaning of Vishvatma is the only lovable object for everyone. Because of forgetfulness of this object, people are suffering in this material world. But if one fortunately revives his old consciousness of loving Krishna and connects with Vishvatma, one becomes perfect. The Lord is described in the third canto as follows: Paravaresho Maharamsha Yukto Yajo Pijato Bhagavan. Although unborn, the Lord, the master of everything, appears like a born child by entering the mind of a devotee. The Lord is already there within the mind, and consequently it is not astonishing for him to appear as if born from a devotee's body. The word avivesha signifies that the Lord entered within the mind of Vasudeva. There was no need for a discharge of semen. That is the opinion of Sripad Sridhar Swami and Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. In the Vaishnava Toshani, Srila Sanatana Goswami says that consciousness was awakened within the mind of Vasudeva. Srila Viragava Acharya also says that Vasudeva was one of the demigods, and that within the mind, within his mind, the Supreme Personality of God had appeared as an awakening of consciousness. So Krishna appeared in an unusual way in the mind of Vasudeva, and then he was transferred from the mind of Vasudeva to the mind of Devaki, not the ordinary means of transference of the seed. So everything is original in Krishna Lila. Even here we have the Immaculate Conception. The Christians, you know, Jesus was born without ordinary sex. So Krishna was also. Then they argue that therefore this Vaishnavism, the Hindus are impersonalists. The original Brahmins, you know, in the Vedic cult, were just doing rituals, and later on they were mostly, you know, Advaitavadis. And this Vaishnavism is a graft on Hinduism brought from the West. It's actually an imitation of Christianity. This is a popular scholarly idea. Okay, you can have your theories, but if this is a fact, to make this a fact, for Vaishnavism to be borrowed from Christianity, it has to be younger than Christianity. Christianity has to be older. So, this is only a possible, workable theory if the worship of Krishna is younger, is more recent, doesn't go back as far as Christianity. In other words, what the scriptures tell us about Krishna appearing 5,000 years ago, and it's not like nobody knew about him then. Vyasadeva wrote about him 5,000 years ago, and everybody knew about him 5,000 years ago. What to speak of when, how old is Christianity supposed to be? Christ is historically assumed to have appeared around 0 AD. I mean, it's the AD is named after him, Anno Domini. What is Domini? Domino's Pizza? Domino's Pizza was founded by and owned by fundamental Christians. They call it Domino's Pizza because they're dedicating it to Jesus. It's Domini in Latin for God, the Lord. Domini is Master. Prabhu, or Pati. Domini. Anyway, Anno Domini, Jesus was... And then astronomers say, the star that the magicians, the magi saw, three wise men, must have been a conjunction of stars that occurred in 3 AD, so Jesus was, the year is off by 3 years. Okay, but about 0 AD is when Christianity started. Christianity couldn't have started before there was Jesus Christ around. So that means what our scriptures tell us must be a pack of lies. If, the only way their theory can be right is, their idea can be right is that all our ideas are wrong to start with. So what's the use of any comparison? What are we doing here, sitting here, if our whole life is based on a pack of lies? We are presuming that Krishna appeared 5,000 years ago. We're basing our education, spiritual education, on these books that were supposedly written 5,000 years ago. Bhagavad Gita is supposed to be important because it was spoken by Bhagavan. But if it wasn't, if Bhagavan wasn't around and the book is actually some fabrication much more recent, then what are we doing here? So our whole... I'm not proposing that we lose our faith. What I'm saying is that this is the foundation of our faith and our life. Is the assumption. We have some assumptions. Everybody has assumptions. The communists have their assumptions that the real important things in life are economic, and that history, has got its own force, and the perfection of history is communism. That's their assumptions. Nobody can prove it. And we have our assumption that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he did appear 5,000 years ago, and the books that say that he did appear, the words that he supposedly spoke, are authentic. These are our assumptions. If you're not convinced of those assumptions, think about it. Try to become convinced, because that's the basis of our whole Krishna conscious life. So therefore, we can put aside the theory that worship of Krishna is something borrowed from Christianity, because Christianity is only claims to be 2,000 years old, and we claim to be that Krishna appeared 5,000 years ago. So forget. Who borrowed from who then? We had Immaculate Conception idea 3,000 years before you even thought of it. I don't think any Indologist, don't worry, no Indologist has disproven They've written their books saying no. You know, Krishna is not, the Krishna religion is not 5,000 years old, but nobody's proven it. Nobody's come near to prove it. They just start with the assumption that what the books say can't be true. But they've never proven that. They just speculate on the basis of assuming that Vyasadeva is not an authority. He didn't live 5,000 years ago, and he didn't write these books, or didn't compile these books. But they have no evidence to prove that. Believe me, you look, you can look through, go to any good university library and scour all the books, you won't find any proof. So we are accepting, I hope we're accepting, the version of the Bhagavatam with confidence, with conviction, that this is a historical fact. And this is wonderful. What is happening? The Supreme Absolute, he's got many appearances, but this is his best appearance. He's showing himself in full, all of his opulence. Amshabhagena. Yeah, but then the words are there. Amshabhagena. So even if you believe in the authority of the Bhagavatam, you still can run into trouble. If your faith is weak, even the words of the Bhagavatam can mislead you. This is the Yogamaya, you know, ready to test you. Okay, you believe in the Bhagavatam, but what about this? Amshabhagena. He appeared, well, it's an instrumental case. It can mean a few things. One of the things it can mean, he appeared as a partial expansion. Amshabhaga. Not only one word, but two words. Amsha and Bhaga. They both mean only part. You know, it's pretty explicit. Amshabhaga can't mean the whole thing. It can mean only a part. How can Amshabhaga mean 100% the whole thing of anything? Amshabhaga means just a fraction. So, does this say that Krishna appeared as just a fraction? That this is not the original Bhagavan? This is just a minor incarnation? A partial expansion? There are those who argue. There are Vaishnavas who argue. Narayana is supreme. Krishna is only his expansion. And they quote the Bhagavatam. They quote this. They can quote this if they know it. Prabhupada didn't mention this. He probably did not get into this, but I think Jiva Goswami must have something to say about it. Avivesh Amsha Bhagena. I know Jiva Goswami has a lot to say about the topic in his Krishna Sandarbha, in his Bhagavat Sandarbha, that instrumental case can mean several things. One of the things it can mean is accompanied by. Krishna appeared accompanied by his plenary partial. And Prabhupada, following the Acharyas in his word-for-word synonyms, indicates that that's actually to be considered plural. His gloss on Amshabhagena is with all of his potential opulences, Shad Aishwarya Purna, complete in all his six opulences. So not only, okay, he came along with Balaram, who's his Amsha, but he's full Amsha, he's not partial Amsha. He came with all his partial Amshas. Inside the body of Krishna is Vasudeva, and Pradyumna and Aniruddha. They will only manifest separately later in Krishna's Leela, after he goes to Dwarka. Narayan appears in the Chaturvyuha form. The Chaturvyuha and all the subsequent further expansions of the Supreme Lord are all inside Krishna when he appears. Some of them separate later on and appear in their own right, like Pradyumna and Aniruddha and others. That's Amshas. But Prabhupada goes even further, following Vishwanath Chakravarti or Jiva Goswami. We actually already read this. We already did verse... No, not 16. We haven't gotten to it yet. Now we're only up to verse 9. We finished 9. Okay, so we'll get to this. Do I have it here? 16, right here. Vasudev, Well, that's chapter 2. This is chapter 1. We're still in chapter 1. Yeah. Okay, I don't have it in front of me. Anyway, other bhagas also, other amshas and bhagas. all of his potential opulences are included in Krishna. All of his energies, his swamshas, his personal expansions as God, all the different forms of God, and his, all of his shaktis, all of the jivas, all of his material energies, Krishna includes it all. He showed it when he bewildered Brahma. He expanded into all the cowherd boys, and then to really show Brahma something, he manifested as Narayan, surrounded by all his potencies. Multiple forms to replace the cowherd boys. So Krishna showed. He showed his mother in his mouth. It's recorded that it happened twice in the Bhagavatam. That his mother looked in his mouth and saw the whole universe, including herself and Krishna. So Krishna shows it. He actually does incorporate within himself all of his potencies. Therefore, we want to worship that God, that form of God. Not God showing only part of himself. The devotees of Krishna have got this special attraction to him for what he is. The mind or the heart, in the Vedic concept, there's not much of a difference between the two. We are thinking in terms of Western terms of distinguishing between thoughts and emotions. And the mind is the seat of thought. But actually it isn't. The brain is just a mechanical device. It's like an external hard drive. The real processing, you know, operation is in the heart. You know, just like in a computer, the hard drive is external to the central processing unit. So our central processing unit is the soul, which is normally situated in the heart, not in the brain. So when we say manas, don't look for the manas over here. Look for it over here. And therefore, vidyam, or chitta, manas, these words can be used interchangeably. Mind, and what we translate as mind, can be used interchangeably with other words that we would think in English mean heart. So Prabhupada, you know, he appeared in mana. Avivesha mana. He entered the mana of Anukandundami. But Prabhupada talks in the verse about Krishna being in the heart and then being in the mind, because from the Vedic point of view, that's the seat of consciousness, of thought and feeling. I think the Greeks used to think that you feel with your liver. You know, the emotions were residing in the liver. Anyway, we understand. I don't think there's no major chakra located at the liver. It's a little bit off center from the spinal cord. Is there one?
Anger.
Anger is. Okay. Well, the liver gets involved. When you have emotions, the liver churns out enzymes. But I don't think it's the seat of conscious emotions. It's just a place where you manifest external symptoms of emotions. But the heart is what Prabhupada's talking about, even though the word is manas. Ishvarak sarva bhutanam rideshe arjuna tishtati. The Lord of all beings is residing in the heart, Arjuna. Don't you remember that? You wanted to be a yogi and go to the forest, leave this fight, and meditate. Well, you want to be a yogi, you should know where to find the Lord of your heart. The Lord is in the heart. You should know that. Every yogi has to know that. Now, just like a car mechanic has to know where to find the carburetor. So a yogi is going to have to find where there's a Paramatma. You know, they're looking for Paramatma. They're supposed to be working with Paramatma. Just as a car mechanic is working with the carburetor and other car parts. So you got to know where to find it, in the heart. People are thinking God has to be out there somewhere, on the other side of the universe, or at least hiding behind something, in the temple, or someplace, in the sacred district, in some holy place. God is there. I have to go to Mecca, you know, risk my life getting there, and then risk getting trampled in some, you know, stampede with the 10 million other pilgrims. So they just finished the Hajj a few days ago. Oh, maybe I was reading an old newspaper. Anyway, I was reading about finishing the Hajj. Maybe it was a six-month-old newspaper I was looking at. The pilgrimage to Mecca, that it all, you know.
It was recent.
It was recent? Okay, it was a recent paper. And, you know, this year it was relatively nonviolent. Nobody got killed. You know, just some minor injuries. Some people got killed?
Well, in a smash
of the bill. Okay, anyway, the one day I read about that, nobody got killed that day.
Oh, last year was 300.
Only 300?
Sometimes they kill each other. Sometimes terror, you know, people, you know, start shooting at each other. And anyway, it's risky. It's risky to get there. It used to be you'd have to, you know, go over the sea and take months to get there, and maybe you get killed by pirates. Yeah. It was riskier then. The chance of hijacking with pirates was worse back then when you had to go by boat to get to Mecca from Indonesia or someplace. Not easy. So people are risking their lives to go to the place where they think they can find God. He's in that, you know, behind that rug over there in that square thing. You know, God's inside there in that Kaaba, that stone. Or the ancient Jews thought that God was residing in the tabernacle. Once a year, the high priest of Jerusalem was obliged to open up the tabernacle, and I think he had to put his hand inside and do something. And if he was impure, if he had sinned during the year, he would die immediately. After touching the inside of the tabernacle, the Jewish, you know, box in which God was living. It was a scary thing. If you were the high priest, you got to do this, and you risked getting killed if you had sinned. And beside that, nobody would ever open up the box. Nobody would want to do it. Different ideas of where God is found. Gopakumara, when he was looking for God, he met a Brahmin who was worshipping Shalagram Shila on the bank of some river. And he was curious, what are you doing? You know, you're offering so much reverence to this little round stone. And he said, don't you know? This is the Supreme Lord. Supreme Lord, really? And he watched the man do the worship. And the Brahmin was very poor. He didn't have any food to offer for Naivedyam, so he just packed up the Shalagram after the puja, intending to find something later on in the day to offer as to the deity. And Gopakumara said, what are you doing? You're putting the Supreme Lord into that little box. He hasn't even gotten anything to eat. He's going to be hungry all day. You know, so Gopakumara was also confused. You know, where is God? He's sticking him in that box, and you haven't even fed him. But the yogis have got the special insight that God can be found inside your own heart. You don't have to take the trouble to go to Mecca. He's right there. And therefore it's very appropriate that Krishna chose to appear in the very sacred, sanctified, very favorable location of Vasudeva's heart. Krishna attracted Vasudeva. Vasudeva attracted Krishna, rather, by his ecstatic vatsalya rasa, love. So that love of Vasudeva was emanating from his heart. That's the natural place that Krishna would be attracted to, into the heart of Vasudeva. And then also into the heart of Devaki. And then, within a few hours, he was out of there and on his way to Gokula to be with his other parents. Okay, so are there any questions or comments? Yeah.
In general, we hear in the classes that, Bhagavatam classes, that Vasudeva is an eternal associate, I mean, eternally liberated devotee.
Yes.
And if someone starts now saying or stressing the point that Vasudeva is a demigod, like
Sri
Prabhupada says, then.
Yes.
I mean,
it's also said about Nanda Maharaj that he was the Vasudeva Drona. Vasudeva was actually, in previous life, Kashyapa Muni, because he was Krishna's father during the Vamana incarnation, and Devaki was Aditi, right? But this is explained in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita by Sanatana Goswami, or Narada is explaining it to Gopakumara, that just as the Supreme Lord has his expansions, he takes various forms, so do some of his intimate associates. They also expand. So there is original Vasudeva and Devaki in the Mathura that's in Goloka, in the spiritual sky, above Vaikuntha. But they expand. They're expanding here onto the earth. But even before that, they expand in other forms in the heavenly, and Vaikuntha, the heavenly planets, and also on the earth. So on the heavenly planets, Vasudeva expanded as Kashyapa Muni, and Devaki expanded as Aditi. And that happened at the beginning of the universe, or at least at the beginning of the Manvantara, all the way back. And then when it came time for Krishna himself to appear on the earth, he wanted Vasudeva Devaki to come down from Goloka and be his parents in Mathura. But when they came down, their partial expansions in other realms merged into them first. So the Kashyapa Muni merges into Vasudeva and then comes down to earth. The demigod part is inside him, just as all of Krishna's energies and expansions are inside him.
Yeah, but my question is it right to, stress?
You can say, from one viewpoint, that is the demigod. You can say that Krishna is really Vamanadeva. I'm a devotee of Vamanadeva, and this Krishna is a manifestation of Vamanadeva. Okay, that's your ecstasy. You can say that. Krishna is Vamanadeva. But it's not really that Krishna's expansion of Vamanadeva. It's the other way around. But still, you can. There's no harm in identifying the two. It's technically erroneous, but that's an error based on love. If you love Vamanadeva so much that you can only think of Krishna as an expansion of Vamanadeva, you can be excused for that. If you are so much a devotee of Kashyapa Muni that you can only think of Vasudeva as his expansion, okay. You're not gonna go to hell for that. Yogamaya sometimes makes us think things that are technically not true, but it's on the basis of love that we're thinking them. Krishna's parents are thinking that they have to protect him. They don't have to protect him. He doesn't need any protection. But if they weren't thinking erroneously like that, there'd be no fun. There'd be no enjoyment of the lila of Vatsalya Rasa. So the devotees of Vaikuntha have to think there's no higher place than this, and that Krishna's cowherd pastimes are sort of an embarrassment. Narayan is acting like a little boy. That's okay. That's okay for the Vaikuntha devotees to think like that. That's Yogamaya. It's technically wrong, but it's excusable. Okay. Yeah, but...
I'm just wondering if the Chaturvyuha when Krishna Balaram leave Vrindavan and then they manifest as Vasudeva and Sankarshan, Arjuna and Anivira manifest, and then from that Sankarshan Narayana comes, and then from Narayana the second Chaturvyuha? Is that how?
Well, I don't know. Where do you find the second Chaturvyuha appearing in Krishna's Leela? I don't know.
I mean, not in Krishna's Leela, but just, you have the first Chaturvyuha.
Narayan and his expansions exist eternally. They didn't come into being 5,000 years ago. Is that what you're suggesting?
No.
Well, you say when Krishna left Mathura.
I've heard it said that first is the first Chaturvyuha.
But you mean in the spiritual sky?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. The original Chaturvyuha manifests in Mathura and Dwarka of Goloka, yes. Uh-huh. But that's eternal manifestation. When you talk about when he left, he doesn't have to leave.
Oh, okay.
He doesn't have to leave. He's eternally in all those three realms. In the spiritual sky and in Krishna's unmanifest pastimes on the earth, he can be in all the places at once. He doesn't have to follow a time sequence.
Yeah.
Okay, forget the time sequence. But yes, that's where you find first the Chaturvyuha in the two outer parts of Goloka, Mathura and Dwarka. There's no need for them. There's no use for them in Vraja.
You mean that there's Chaturvyuha and Mathura Chaturvyuha and Dwarka also?
I don't know if you consider them different. When Krishna moved to Mathura, he was still the same person.
And
basically, Mathura and Dwarka are just two neighborhoods of the same realm.
Yeah, right. So from that Chaturvyuha, then from Sankarsana of that Chaturruha, Narayan comes?
Yes.
And then from that
the Vaikuntha manifests, the Lord of Vaikuntha manifests from the first Chaturruha, yes. From the Sankarsana of the first Chaturruha.
And then from that Narayan, the second Chaturruha comes?
Then the further expansions of Narayan. Narayan expands into countless forms. There are countless Narayans in Vaikuntha.
Oh, okay.
So it starts with 1, and then 4, and then 16, and then 64, but it keeps on going.
Because they say it's like up to Narayan, and it's like the second Chaturruha, from that Sankarsana, the second Chaturruha, Mahavishnu.
Yes, yes.
That's how it works,
okay? Yes. That's how that's how it's described in Brahma Samhita, well, in Chaitanya Charitamrita.
Right.
So yes, yeah. But in between, it doesn't stop at just 16 expansions of Narayana. There's many more.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. Yes.
Why is Vasudeva
called to the Anagadhu? Vasudeva?
Why he's called?
I'm sorry. Ananka. I just the sound
is low.
Why? Ananka Dundubi. Because like the most glorious moment of Vasudeva's life was when Krishna was born. And that moment is commemorated by that name. At that moment, the devatas in Swarga Loka played their. Yeah, they showered flowers and they played music and banging on dundubi drums. Dundubi is like a big kettle drum, timpani. Because the demigods played the drums when Krishna was born, Vasudeva is called Anaka Dundubi. Anaka and Dundubi are two kinds of drums. Anaka is like a big side drum, big long drum. Something like Dolak, I think. Anaka, but and Dundubi is like a big round, half size, half circle, half sphere drum. So Anakas and Dundubis were played when Krishna was born.
When there was so much noise, where was the Kansa's army? You say that it was a celebration.
Yes.
Where was the Kansa army?
I don't know. Anyway, yes, but in the heavenly planets, they don't have to make a lot of noise. It sounds to us like a gentle rumbling, like a little bit of thunder in the sky. Yeah, yes, they didn't even notice. Yeah, but the devotees noticed. The devotees heard. Thank you. Yes, ma'am.
I'd like to address this topic about it. Some academics claim that Christianity is older.
Yeah. Yes.
And it's Vaishnavism borrowed with their ideas.
Yes.
So, of course, if you say that we have our set of axioms and they have another set of axioms,
yes,
of assumptions, and then there will be no any common points of I would like to say that if there are some of course internally we can say that it's correct with our mullahs or Hari Mahaparamam, that Supreme Lord is,
yes,
that's a Dasha Mullah, our,
yes,
our mullahs, but in terms of preaching, and could we use some sciences which can actually prove and illuminate this point more clearly, such as astrology and physiognomics?
What you? Yes.
I mean that Srila Rupa Goswami, when he writes about the gunas or qualities of Krishna, he said that he has 33 divine qualities of
yes.
Mahapurusha.
Yes.
And he quotes this Samudrika Shastra.
He quotes, yes.
And also I have heard that there are some sections within Brihat Parasharaka Shastra when divine personalities are described.
Yes.
And if we have some information about the exact date of advent of Lord Krishna.
Yes.
And then we have his chart, and this chart actually corresponds to his qualities of his body.
Yes.
Body.
But problem is, if you want to prove the status of Krishna based on astrology. Rupa Goswami didn't do that. He just introduced. It was Rupa Goswami introduced the evidence as a corroborating minor evidence. He didn't base his argument on that, because you run into problems. Interpretation of a chart is always subjective. It's never an exact thing. It's like medical diagnosis. Even the best astrologer will be correct in his interpretation only 75% of the time, maybe. Even the best. Just like the best medical diagnostician cannot always be exactly right. It's not an exact science, the interpretation of what a chart means. So when you see, even you see the 32 marks of a Mahapurusha, it doesn't mean God necessarily. It can mean just a great jiva. And how great depends on so many factors. You can look at almost anybody's chart and see, Raj Yoga, the sign of a king, in almost anybody's chart. But because the chart has other debilities in it, has other bad signs in it, therefore the Raj Yoga doesn't work. The person doesn't become a king. Yeah. He's got something good in his life. So like that, you may see the 32 signs of a Mahapurusha in the Jataka chart, in the chart. But that doesn't prove it's God. What to speak of the original Supreme God? You can't prove it. It's even in the best hands, the best astrologer can't make an exact, deductive proof that this Krishna who was born at that moment must be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It can't be done just on the basis of astrology. It's not exact enough. Other thing is, who are you going to prove it to? In the modern world, scientists are not allowed to believe in astrology. They'll be ridiculed if they admit that they have any faith in astrology. So it's critical thinking people don't believe in astrology anyway nowadays. So who are you going to prove it to? So I think, it would be an interesting exercise, but I wouldn't spend too much energy on it because it can't really make the proof. And most people don't listen to astrology anyway. The people who are thinking people nowadays are supposed to be skeptical about astrology. Okay. if you can do it in a short time, just figure out Krishna's chart. But I wouldn't spend years, or dedicate your life to it because it won't prove it.
I mean, my position is not that we should base our faith on this astrological.
But even for preaching, I don't think it would be that effective. Rupa Goswami, mentioned Rupa Goswami. He presented his major proof, what he purported as his proof that Krishna is the supreme form of God in the Laghu Bhagavatamrita. The whole book is for that purpose, to show that Krishna is the original form of God and the supreme. Just as Jiva Goswami did it previously, did it later in the Krishna Sandarbha, but Laghu Bhagavatamrita is a shorter book. And in the beginning of Laghu Bhagavatamrita, he says, I'm going to give evidence from the Bhagavatam and other scriptures. I'm not even going to do much logical arguing. It's not for this purpose, for the purpose of making my point, it won't settle the matter. Because there's always, no matter how you prove something logically, there's always another logician who can disprove you, give a counter-argument. So I'm going to put aside even yukti, logic, and base my argument that Krishna is the Supreme God just on scripture. That was what he actually did when he attempted to preach and prove that Krishna was God in his authoritative text, Laghu Bhagavatamrita, just on the basis of scripture.
I mean that if it's a little bit different question, that one is that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the other is he has come 5,000 years ago.
Okay, that he appeared at that time.
Yeah. And if we have some, because.
Okay, if you could, okay, you might want to look at Krishna's birth chart to show that yeah. The chart fits the character of the person Krishna.
Yeah.
Sure, you could do that. You could do that. You could also send archaeologists over to the Janmasthan and have them dig in the ground and see what they could find. But yeah, generally Krishna doesn't prove himself that way. Yeah. Yes.
I mean that Vrindavan Das Thakur, he spent some chapters, maybe one or two, in the beginning of his Chaitanya Bhagavata to describe the horoscope of Chaitanya, which was made by Bhakti Chakravarti.
He describes it in a few verses. For a few verses, he discusses it. The chart. Yes, yes. So it shouldn't become an over endeavor. Yeah. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, in his household life, was an expert astrologer. So he applied his skill. You know, to preaching also. So it's astrology can be used in preaching, sure.
Because at some point it must be, if one is very expert, like a sage, rishi, he can do the exact predictions or exact vision of the reality within some scope.
Maybe. Maybe, but I don't know if we have such expert astrologers in the modern age. I don't know if anybody's there who's that expert.
No, maybe not. I just say about the ideal.
Yes. Yes. But even that, the interpretation that an astrologer gets in his head is given to him by the demigods. It's an inspiration. It's not a proof. It's just still his opinion. If we all trust him, you know, we trust that this rishi, this astrologer, is perfect authority, then we just take his word that Krishna is God. You know, if we trust him. If we don't trust him, then even if he interprets the chart to mean that Krishna is God, we won't be convinced. Yeah, it'd be great if we have perfect rishis, and if people respected their opinions, then we can do good preaching. Our devotees should become like rishis, so then their preaching will become, people will believe them, and they'll be able to prove things with strong evidence.
This is the question was about, actually, is there any works of acharyas about this, in this sphere?
In our line, no. Even Srila Vishnu Chakravarti and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati put aside their astrological activities when they started preaching.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't consider it, they only sometimes, you know, gave some astrological information in their commentaries.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't promote astrology. They gave that up when they became full-time preachers.
Mm-hmm.
Even though they were very expert astrologers, they had a following. They had, you know, students who were studying astrology from them.
I mean, not that about the astrology as a science at all, but about this topic of Lord Krishna or such things. Is there any research works of each other?
I don't know. I don't think so. Not that I've seen.
Mm.
You know, detailed study of Krishna's birth chart or anything like that, I haven't seen. First of all, the date is not easy to pinpoint, because even there's disagreement about the exact beginning of Kali Yuga. Different schools of astronomy different Siddhantas have different opinions. So there'll be different opinions, and it'll be hard to decide which opinion is correct about which is the exact date of Krishna's birth. And it's not easy to figure out where the stars were 5,000 years ago. There's different opinions about the movements of the planets. So it may be hard to get it exact. Although maybe with help of modern astronomy, you might be able to. If you can get the right time, exact time, then you can probably do a good chart using modern astronomy. But to fix the time is not easy. Might be different opinions about it. Yeah, okay. I mean, you can tell the day and the month and the day, but to tell the exact year may be tricky. Okay, thank you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam, Ki Jai.